Honest information about living a healthy lifestyle on RadioMD.com. It's time for Naturally Savvy with natural visionary Andrea Donsky and health journalist Lisa Davis.
Hi, I'm Lisa Davis. Andrea is off today. I am joined now by Dr. Mark Carney. He's an internationally renowned naturopathic doctor, acupuncturist, and nutrition expert. Hello, Dr. Carney. Welcome to Naturally Savvy.
Hello, Lisa, and it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's so nice to have you on. Today, we're going to be talking about environmental toxicity and the presence of chemicals everywhere. Oh, this is overwhelming. Food, water, air, and common items. Jump right in. And then, of course, we have to talk about what we can do because we're so bombarded.
It's true. We are bombarded, and these things are everywhere. But there's a lot of very common sense things we can do. And I wanted to start off by telling you a quote that I think really sets the stage, and that is that genetics loads the gun, but it's environment that pulls the trigger. So what I mean by that is we're all born with a certain set of genes, and maybe we're predisposed to certain diseases or whatnot, but it's environment that triggers those. And so we can do a lot with our environment. I want to share some bullet points of what to do.
Oh, definitely. I love what you said. I think that makes so much sense. And you know, my mother passed away from ovarian cancer in her 50s. And, you know, people say, oh, you've got to be so careful. And I got the BRAC test. And luckily, I'm negative. But even if I was positive, you know, you have to look at the way different people live their lives. And that's why I think it's so important what you said about having that predisposition, but then doing things differently in terms of our environment. So what are some things we can do to protect ourselves? And if we've been contaminated in some way, especially people who've been, you know, extraordinarily contaminated, what they can do to get clean and detox.
Absolutely. And there's one point I want to mention on the BRCA gene, BRCA 1 and 2.
Sure.
So people are very aware of it, but of BRCA and getting tested, but that only counts for 15% of breast cancers. So the majority of breast cancer is BRCA 1 and 2 negative. Anyway, so with the environment, the first thing is to really identify the source. It's kind of like that old song, there's a hole in the bucket, dear Liza, then fix it, dear Henry. So it's, I don't know if you know that song. But,
yeah, I laugh because I haven't heard that in years.
Right. I'm going to be thinking about it all day long now. Can't get
me
it out
too.
Of my head. sorry for that earbug, earworm, whatever that's called. So if you're constantly getting polluted and you're constantly purging your body of those toxins, that's like a never-ending battle, right? A dog chasing its tail. So the first thing is to really identify sources. And I'm in Colorado, in Durango, Colorado. I'm not from Durango, I'm from Denver. But in Durango, Colorado, there was a mine, a gold mine, that the EPA was trying to plug up and accidentally unleashed 3 million gallons of toxic water into the main river. And so water is a major source for heavy metals, like that unleashed cadmium and arsenic and lead and other metals, too. And that's where people get their drinking water and the water that they bathe in and that the farmers use to irrigate the fields. So then that goes into the food, and it just becomes this, like, constant source in our lives. So we gotta plug the leak, so to speak. And to identify these, it sometimes takes the help of a trained professional who can identify. What I do at Thriveology is we test our patients for things like solvents and organophosphates and parabens and phthalates and bisphenols and all these chemicals and other metals too. And I just had a patient who was very, very high in the organophosphates. And these are chemicals that create the brain fog, right? These are symptoms that are really common, I'd say, in the vast majority of my patients. You know, the dizziness, the fatigue, loss for words, it can trigger or be a contributing factor to things like cancers. So
now, would you say that your patients are in areas where, like you just mentioned that thing happening, which I'm so sorry about. My father-in-law was just talking about that the other day about what happened in Colorado. Or are these people who are just living their normal, everyday lives and really are just exposed to what everybody else is, nothing extra? Or I'm guessing it's a combination.
It is both. I mean, obviously, if there's an environmental disaster, then that becomes a big deal. But everyday life, we're exposed to things, whether it's in our furniture, ceiling tiles, flooring, things that are off-gassing, formaldehyde, other chemicals, you know, the stains, the sealants in the wood, the glues. So just in our homes, the very structure of the house itself, our apartments, mold, there's all kinds of things we could be exposed to. And a lot of us have resiliency in our bodies, and we can deal with this. And it's the canaries in the coal mine we've got to be paying attention to. And these are the people that are really, really sensitive. We call it environmental illness or multiple chemical sensitivity or universal reactor. There's other words for it. But these are the people that, you know, if someone's walking by on down a sidewalk coming their way, and they, and that person that's coming their way happens to have perfume or cologne, that could trigger them into a really big set of symptoms that could last for days or weeks.
Yeah, my father, when he would smell perfume years ago, he'd get these horrible headaches.
Exactly.
Now, luckily, so my mother never wore perfume. But it can be a problem.
And if the canaries in the coal mine are reacting to it, all of us are reacting to it. It's just those are the ones that are manifesting the symptoms first. So it's...
And then how do you test?
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to say, how do you test these on people? Is it the hair? Is it through hair or blood or both or something else?
The gold standard is to do a sampling of the fat tissue. But not many people are going to do that. So what we do in our office is we do a blood and urine sample, and then that tests for dozens of different chemicals and things. Sadly, almost everybody has a variant of DDT in them. Everybody that I've tested is DDE. But what we can see, there's things like benzenes and styrenes. We can see some of these things, like the benzenes, if somebody's car happens to have a leak. And I don't mean a leak that you can see something dripping. I just mean that the gas line is leaking, and so they're breathing in fumes that they don't even know. And then we see that in the blood.
Oh, I see. All right. So what are some of the steps to treatment? And then obviously you want to, you know, not have air fresheners in your home and, you know, new carpets, unless you can get organic carpet and good cleaning products that are safe and don't have all the chemicals. What are ways to get the stuff out of you once it's in?
Correct. Those are all very good preventive measures, and body care products are a big one too. And I like to refer to, I don't have any affiliation with them, but Environmental Working Group is one of several places where people can look for cleaner products. But for getting stuff out, one of the simplest things of all, Lisa, is to sweat. Sweating therapy, whether it's a hot box of whatever source, you know, there's far infrared saunas, there's regular saunas, there's steam rooms, but it does involve the heat. So if you're exercising your sweat, that's very good, but the heat is even better, because a lot of these things that we're talking about, these toxins, get stored in the fatty tissue, and it's the heat that helps the body mobilize the fatty tissue. So what one thing people sometimes forget, they hear about the sweating, they forget that they should shower right afterwards. You don't want that perspiration to absorb right back in.
Oh, that's such a good point. Now, how often should they use an infrared sauna or whatever method they're using to sweat?
If it was even once a week, that would be ahead of moving in the right direction. But some people, I have them do it daily. And literally 5 to 10 minutes per day if it's a far infrared. If it's a regular sauna, maybe 15 minutes every other day. So the key is some people need to build up to that. Their bodies can't really tolerate heat too much. Also, some people just don't perspire. And so that's a huge clue that this major route of how the body can eliminate these things is struggling. So that tells me right off the bat, if somebody has a difficult time perspiring, that they probably have a big toxic buildup in their body.
Well, Dr. Carney, you're going to have to come back because there's still so much more to talk about. In the meantime, people can check you out on Twitter at Thriveology LLC. I'm Lisa Davis, and this has been a wonderful show here on Radio MD. You can like us on Facebook, and you can follow us on Twitter at Your Radio MD and at Naturally Savvy. Be sure to check out past shows and just keep listening to Radio MD. I'm Lisa Davis. Once again, take care and stay well.